This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Lynching is one of America's crimes and one of its wounds. Close to 5,000 people are documented as having been lynched in the United States between the middle of the 19th century and the middle of the 20th century. Strung up on a tree or a lamppost, most commonly by a mob or small gang, and hanged to death, without a trial, but often surrounded by plenty of witnesses. The overwhelming number of those killed were African Americans, although there were also whites, including Jews and Catholics. Last week in Woodville, Mississippi, a 55-year-old black man named Roy Veal was found hanging from a tree. Local authorities have ruled it a suicide. But any time a black man is found hanging from a tree in Mississippi, it is bound to tear at this gash in American life. Many African Americans in Mississippi do not accept the findings of local authorities and believe that Roy Veal was lynched. There are some events in history that are so incredible, people feel compelled to document and preserve their memory for succeeding generations. An exhibit called Without Sanctuary has made its way from New York to Atlanta and is currently housed at Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi. The collection was put together by James Allen and John Littlefield. The exhibit is comprised of photographs of lynchings that took place between 1882 and 1981. Many of those photographs were printed on postcards and sent through the mail. Monique Guillory is the local project coordinator of the exhibit and an associate professor at Jackson State. She took us through the galleries, picture by picture.
People are very surprised to see how small they are, but that was the whole point. These were not just photographs that were taken by reporters or journalists, but these were photographs that were made into postcards and often sold at the site as souvenirs.
So people would be lynched and people would come out and take a picture of it the way they might damage from a hurricane or something.
Exactly. And, you know, we could tell in some instances, like from the newspaper accounts and whatnot, it was imperative that the photographer be there. So the lynching would be delayed in some instances until they were sure that they would have someone there who could document it.
There is a kind of hush in the series of small white-walled rooms in which the pictures are mounted in glass frames. A soundtrack of blues and gospel from the period plays in the background. If you approach the photos from a few yards back, they can surprise you. Some people seem to be smiling. When you get closer, you can begin to see below some of those smiles.
This is a postcard of two African-American men who've been beaten, and they're forced to pose with a man gun trained on them and eating watermelon.
Exactly.
Who would send this to who?
Clearly, people with very racist intents, but it does certainly play on the stereotypes and the dark humor that underlies this type of racial oppression. If you can take it lightly, it's much easier to institutionalize it.
These are three men who have been identified who were hanging from tree limbs.
Exactly.
Do you have any idea who took this picture?
Well, there's the studio right there, Usher Studio.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. In Georgia. Yeah. Many of the postcards had the studio imprinted on them.
So professional photographers would go out and, like, it was...
Right, it was a commodity.
Photo, birthday party or something.
Right, exactly.
Looks like they've been perhaps dragged through the brambles beforehand, too.
Right. In many instances, a lot of people don't recognize that about lynchings. The victims would often be dead by the time they were put in the tree. They were put in a tree, again, as a symbol of terror. And to send a sign to the community, this is what happens to people who, you know, who don't adhere to the codes, usually unwritten codes of behavior, particularly for blacks, but other minorities, other ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. And those were usually the victims of lynching.
And those are people standing around. There's no sense of shame, chagrin. Nobody's putting their hat over their face. Nobody is.
No, none at all. I think that's one of the things that strikes people most about the images, is the comfort, the kind of, you know, the ease of the crowd.
Which way do we go?
That
way. This way. These are, we're looking at a photograph, the bodies of two young men, Jesse Slayton and Will Miles, June 1st, 1896, Columbus, Georgia. They're swinging from a tree in front of a dry goods store. So this was a postcard that someone sent
through
the mail.
Right, and this is the image on the back.
The image on the back is a man named Liege Daniels.
Right, from Center, Texas. And the inscription reads, "He killed Earl's grandmother. She was Florence's mother. Give this to Bud," from Aunt Myrtle. This was made in the courtyard in Center, Texas. He is a 16-year-old black boy.
Among the visitors to the museum when we were there was 28-year-old Bobby Cheatham Jr. of Jackson. His family and teachers had told him about lynchings.
I was just curious and I wanted to see for myself. You know.
What's your impression?
This is nothing like saying it for yourself. I just couldn't believe it. And I still have somewhat more to go, but man, it's just like everything my grandmother told me about, you know, it's awesome. I can't believe it.
A 65-year-old man named Jesse Pennington had to visit three times just to make it through the entire exhibit. Mr. Pennington has just retired as head of the Graduate School of Business at Jackson State. But when he was a 15-year-old high school student in 1954, working as a car hop just outside of Greenville, Mississippi, one night, Jesse Pennington had to run for his life. He'd been stopped by three white men, including a deputy sheriff, who demanded to know if he'd been joyriding on some construction equipment after hours. He said no. The men began to taunt him as a monkey. The deputy picked up some horse manure and said he wondered how it would look on Jesse Pennington's face. When the deputy moved his hand toward Jesse Pennington, the 15-year-old hit him. A knockout punch, in fact, but then he had to run. The three men chased him through the fields. They came back with dogs to sniff him out. But Jesse Pennington hid in the muck and manure of his family's outhouse. The next day, Mr. Pennington's family smuggled him out of Mississippi and up to Chicago, where he eventually went to law school and blocked the night he was almost lynched from his mind.
When I walked into the exhibit, the music playing in the background, I relived the experience. It just came back to me. I could see my mother crying and screaming. I could hear the men banging through the house and throwing things around. I could hear the dogs, and I could feel myself running through the fields. And as I went into the exhibit, I could only get about 10 feet. Then I just for some reason, just broke down, and I couldn't get through it. And I had to keep going back again. And each time I would go through it, I would just cry and cry and cry.
There's a large hand-sewn quilt on a wall of the exhibition by Jackson artist Gwen McGee that inscribes the names of close to 2,000 people who were lynched. They're not just from Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and Texas, but also Delaware, New Mexico, Illinois, and Washington State. There are also newspaper articles about lynchings. The sober prose and news accounts can remind you that there was usually no criminal investigation following a lynching. In fact, local police were often in attendance. It's amazing and curious to consider why people who participated in the humiliation and hanging of a human being would want to photograph that crime and send the pictures through the mail. Curator Monique Guillory notes that their crimes would be harder to document and remember if they hadn't done just that.
It's actually one of the great ironies that I found about the collection, because it made me think about how these people were meant to die, without any sanctuary, without any place to turn. And it was precisely through the sadistic nature of the act, in the murderer's desire to revel in it, that they themselves created the opportunity for these people to have the appropriate recognition of their lives and of their really horrific deaths.
Without Sanctuary will remain at Jackson State University through July 4th, and then will travel to the Charles Wright Museum of African American History in Detroit. Jackson State is trying to acquire the collection and give it a permanent home in Mississippi.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone. I didn't know his name. 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 He had a long...